Hamtavara of a Simcha. But there is a very dark cloud that lines that month, and that is the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, having to eradicate Amalek in whatever form, shape, or manner. It is a dark cloud because it is so atypical and out of step with Torah in general. Drachea Darche Noam, V'chol Nesiv Oseh HaShalom. Mechia, Mechia. Limchot, to eradicate. So Mechika is the same one. Okay, that's to erase. Now, needless to say, anyone who understands the logic of the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, of eradicating Amalek, understands that if you don't erase the evil, there is no chance for the good to blossom forth. But nonetheless, the concern of Rav Kook, and I'm going to show you that this is a concern of the Rambam also, is the theoretical possibility of Amalek being decent. And let's investigate that. Let's take a look at a little piece of Rav Kook, an anecdote that is shared with us by Rav Moshe Tzvi Neria and was heard from Rav Kook in one of his Sichos Kedoshos, one of his talks about Mechias Amalek. On the first page, it's entitled Mechias Amalek, eradicating Amalek or erasing Amalek, so to speak, has to be Mochek al Menas Lichtov. You have to erase in order to be able to write something else in its place. What does that mean? Yachas mi Sichos HaKodesh, one of his talks, so Rav Kook explained the true contents, the true essence of what it means to eradicate the memory of Amalek. And he started in the following way. There is a halacha in Hilchas Shabbos that says as follows. Stam mechiko, if you go ahead and erase something, take a pencil and just erase something that's on the paper, it's kilkulhu. It is the equivalent of something that is non-productive. It's actually destructive. You're erasing part of the paper. And this technically is not considered a malacha in violation of Shabbos. The only time it is a malacha in violation of Shabbos is elo kishuhu mochek al menas lichtov. You go ahead and erase that same piece of paper on Shabbos for the intent of trying to write over it and it not be messy and sloppy, and therefore you went ahead and erased. So this is a different malacha altogether, this is a different intent altogether. What is your ultimate goal? Your purpose is as clear as could be, it's ksiva, it's the writing. It's not the mechika is only preparatory for it. Then, ki rak oz shezu pa'ula, only then is the erasing an action shemagamata tikkun, that its ultimate purpose, the only reason you're doing it is to be able to correct something. That tikkun is already considered malachas machshevas. That purposeful act is considered a malacha for which you are chayav, which you are culpable and liable to whatever onish there is, because there was a malachas machshevas. There was something intentful and there was something with tikkun. You are enhancing by your writing, not just simply being mekalkel in some which way destructive. Umikan says Rav Kook yesh lumod legabi mitzvas mechikas amolek. You have, yeah, so on.
Different words.
What? But it's the idea. Mem ches is the identical shorish. How many times you pulled it on me, right? So there are small variations.
Tichias is the resurrection of the.
But that's not memches. This is memches. The tovches. Tovches doesn't even exist there in Tchia, and the shorish there is ches yud hei, from chayim and or chay. It's identical and they're interchangeable. Mikan yesh lemod legabi mitzvas mechias amolek. Here you can learn about the eradication of the memory of Amalek. Al yachshov achoshev, and here's where Rav Kook waxes eloquently. Let not one think ki lefaneinu mitzvas mechia greda. that taking Amalek is a destructive act in and of itself, one dimension. Get rid of them. Kill them out. Mitzvahs mechika, an act of erasure, v'tulo, v'sulo, nothing more. Sha'areka amur zu'rak mekalkelis. If you think that that's what the mitzvah is, then you're only coming to this world with a kilku, with a destructive aspect. There's absolutely nothing constructive about the mitzvah when you view it that way. Ela ho'il megamas amalek ha'yisah. But you've got to understand that there's a totally different focus here. Since the whole purpose of Amalek was lifgoa ba'am hanosei Hashem Hashem ba'olam, to be able to do damage, pegia, to be able to touch the Achilles heel of the nation who carried the banner of God in this world. Ba'am she'amo karas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she'imo karas HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'ris. To go ahead and do in the nation which HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and entered into a covenantal relationship. V'shehu kisei Hashem ba'olam. And when we talk about God's throne, you know who God's throne is, not what God's throne is. Do you know whose God's throne is? That's Bnei Yisrael. You know why? Because you know the address of God when God sits on his throne. Kel melech yoshev al kisei. Okay? You know where to turn. You are in the inner chambers of God. Now in this world, if you want to find God, where do you go? You go to a Jew. You go to Bnei Israel. And this is what he is saying. The Shehu, the nation itself, is Kisei Hashem Ba'olam, is God's seat, the county seat in this world. Lachain, and therefore, putting all of this together, Mitzvahs Mechias Amalek, he, the mitzvah of obliterating the memory of Amalek has got to be mechika al menas lichtov. It has to be erasing so that we can write something over it. Al menas letaken olam b'malchus Hashem. Eradicating and if necessary killing, for what purpose? Only to be able to establish the kingdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mechika, an erasure, shebi mekoma tavona osios kodesh, that in its place where you just erased, we will be able to write over and superimpose these holy letters, shall shame malei v'kisei malei, a full name of God, with a full address, a chair that is shared by the whole world, meaning Kiddushas Shal Yisrael, the total sanctity of Bnei Yisrael, a recognized sanctity in the highest form, v'rak, and the only time that you have observed this is Kishehamochim hamochekim, when the minds who are erasing magiim ligmar hamelacha shel hakesiva hatikun, are able to arrive at the ultimate purpose of what the erasure is about, and that is to write and to correct the world. Oz miskayemes hamitzvah bishleimusa. Then the mitzvah of Amalek is done in its entirety. Hashem shalem, God's name has been perfected. The Hakisei Shalein, God's throne is not damaged, Umalchusel Bakol Mashallah. And his kingdom is over everything that he can rule over. Here he just puts in a little note, Nechor Hashem HaGedula VaGvura VaTiferes VaNetzach VaHod. Nechor Hashem HaMamlocha. So Rashi in Brachos Daf Nun Ches says the word Hamamlacha, you God have kingdom. What is kingdom? It means Zu Milchemes Amalek. Rashi says Ayidei Milchama LaShem BaAmalek Yisalek Yisal. The sooner the success of the fight against Amalek will take place, then his chair will be, his throne will be established. And again, what does his throne mean? It means Bnei Yisrael will be established. But this concept, let me just repeat it once to make sure we understand. This concept of teaching our children or teaching ourselves that you've got to hate for the sake of hate and kill out Amalek is a deficient mitzvah. Where does he get this idea? I maintain entirely that he is doing nothing more than in very romantic ways showing you the Shitas HaRambam in Mechias Amalek, with which, by the way, the Raiva disagreed. But nonetheless, Rav Kook showed that the halacha is, in his opinion, the halacha is according to the Rambam. And I want to learn the Rambam with you. Which what?
Varak,
going back to the last paragraph, kisha hamochim, when minds, hamochakim, who are involved in the act of erasing, magi'im ligmar hamalacha, come to the ultimate purpose of what they are erasing is about, which is what? The ultimate purpose is shel ktiva v'tikun, that writing and perfecting the world, then and only then, then can you only do the mitzvah properly. Otherwise, it is a defective mitzvah to go around just killing them all out. Gotta kill. Gotta see blood. Can't leave anyone, man, woman, and child alive. Finish. Kill. That mentality is a defective mentality. You were saying?
If there was mitzvah matiyasa, like, wouldn't this be awfully close to a mitzvah barvera?
Talk to me. What are you saying?
Well, the ultimate goal of erasing is the mitzvah of bringing God Hashem's
L'taken olam b'malchus shakai,
which is fine and wonderful. We're doing it on the basis of doing what normally is an illegal bad deed of an avera.
That's it. Now let's prove it from the sources, because it's very easy to say that Rav Kook was a romantic over there, you know, with his business with Mashiach and everything, but didn't go. Too much romance. I need halacha.
And the fact that I'm not there consistent. It is just.
I doubt that.
Oh, okay.
Let's see.
I wasn't making that up.
Yes.
There could be no coexistence then.
What?
So that in order to establish the throne, the perfect throne of the Kaddish Baruch Hu, Amalek has to be blotted out.
Amalek and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are mutually exclusive. This is what we read in Chumash. This is what we read in Chumash, Milchama Lashem Ba'amalek, that Yudke Vovke Havaya HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an endless war with Amalek, Midor Dor, from generation to generation. And every single generation, it continues until ultimately there will be L'takein Olam B'Malchus Shakai, that finally we will be able to see that Amalek is totally obliterated. But the total obliteration, that mentality of just obliterating, is nothing, is kilkul. Is nothing more than Khomeiniism. There is another aspect, he says, which is the essential part of the mitzvah. The kiyum ha-mitzvah, the essence of the mitzvah of Amalek, cannot be done until you get to that second part. What is that second part? And I want to answer it through the Rambam. You have to follow me. I am not changing the subject from Rav Kook to the Rambam, because after all, our last two shiurim were Rambam. I'm telling you, I want to demonstrate that Rav Kook's way was rooted fully in the Rambam, and there are no two ways about it. On the second page, in the left-hand column, the fifth parak of Hilchos Melachim. Let's do quickly one, two or three halachas here. A king, David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, Ein HaMelech Nilcham Tchila Ela Milchemes Mitzvah. If a king has to go to war, the primary war that he goes to is a Milchemes Mitzvah, a war that is at the same time a mitzvah. And the obvious question is, Ve'ezohi Milchemes Mitzvah, where do you see a Milchemes Mitzvah? Which is it? Number one, okay, Zu Milchemes Shiva Amamim. The first war that is a mitzvah is to fight off the seven nations of Canaan. The second war that is a Milchemes Mitzvah is Milchemes Amalek, to completely eradicate Amalek. And the third type of war that is a Milchemes Mitzvah is Ezras Yisrael Miyad Tzar Kishibar Aleihem, to be able to save B'nai Yisrael from any kind of enemy when the enemy is going to descend upon them and try to kill them. Those are the three instances of Milchemes Mitzvah. B'achar kach, anything after that is Nilcham B'Milchemes HaRishus. These are optional wars. And an optional war, by definition, Milchemes Rishus is, Hiya Milchama Shenilchamim Sha'ar HaAmim, is to go to war with other nations, Kidei La'achiv Gvul Yisrael, in order to push the borders of Israel out, U'la'arboz B'Gidul HaSov V'Shama'o, and to be able to get political dominion and clout for his empire That is called a Milchemes Rishus. It's optional. And there are basic differences between Milchemes Mitzvah and Milchemes Rishus La Halacha. For one, you have to get Rishus Bezdin, like in Halacha Beis. Milchemes Mitzvah, if it's the three cases of Milchemes Mitzvah, King Einot Tzarich Litol Bo Rishus Bezdin. He does not have to go ahead and get the permission of a war declaration from Bezdin. He goes, Ela Yotzei Me'atzmo B'Choleis. He goes without any kind of advice, he picks up and he goes, and that's it. V'Chofeh Ha'om Latzeis. Anyone who doesn't want to follow him in Milchemes Mitzvah, because he's got to finish a couple of Blat Gemara, you force him or else you kill him on the spot. Simple as that, because it's Bikuach Nefesh. Aval Milchemes or Rishus, an optional war, is Eino Motzi Ha'omba El Al Pi Bezin Shal Shivim Be'achad. You don't go on an optional war unless the Bezdin, which is the highest representative of Torah Shebaal Peh in every generation, the Sanhedrin of 71 in Yerushalayim, unless they say yes, you don't go to war. You need their approval.
All 71?
Majority. Go to Dalit, the next page. The third page, go to Dalit. I've circled it for you, Dalit and Hay. And please, watch carefully what he is saying. Mitzvah saseh, it is a mitzvah lahacharim to destroy Shiva Amomim, the seven nations of Canaan, Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, hacharim tacharimim, surely you will eradicate them entirely. The chol shebali yado echad mehem, and any time you meet one of these seven nations, Akinani, Achiti, Amori, Aprizi, Agilgoshi, and so on down the line, you meet one of them, velo harogo, and you didn't kill him, is over velo saaseh, you have violated one of the lo saasehs of Torah, shenemar, quote, lo techayeh kol neshama, you shall not leave any one of them alive. Ends the Rambam with three words, ukvar avad zichrom. In two stages, they have been completely obliterated. The first stage, he writes in one place, was in the times of David HaMelech, who probably did them all in.
Sure.
Of Shiva Amomim entirely, not Amalek, of Shiva Amomim. And the second place he writes elsewhere, he writes that Sancheriv, with the first Golus, Sancheriv, the king of Ashur, went ahead and took anyone and everyone of the seven nations of the Shiva Amim and completely mixed them up in the population. That was their way, to take and conquer this land and take exiles to the other land and bring from the other land into this land. So we no longer have a clear identification as to who the Shiva Amim are. Ukvar avad zichram. Finish. Now I'll just leave you with a question that I'm not going to answer now. If time permits, I have here to be able to answer a very astounding question. If, wait, give me a second. If Kvar Avad Zichrom, if you no longer know who they are, so you're saying, because you're a nice guy, you say it in a very gentle way. What kind of a mitzvah is it? I want to put it in a brutal way, more consonant with my personality. If Kvar Avad Zichrom, how many mitzvahs are there in the Torah? That's already apikosis. Understand? How is it conceivable that today we say that there are Taryag Mitzvos and the integrity of Taryag Mitzvos stand if you say Kvar Avad Zikram? Now, if the Rambam himself didn't answer this, and probably he'd be under such vicious and severe attack, the likes of which he couldn't withstand, but it's on the page before he answers it in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the page which Yemir Hashem, if we have time, once we finish with the concept of Amalek and understanding it the way Rav Kook understood it, then I hope we'll be able to come back to it. Halacha hei, v'chein mitzvah saseh, equally there is another mitzvah, le'abed zecher Amalek, to go ahead and completely destroy Amalek, she'ne'emar, the posuk is, quote, timche zecher Amalek, you will go ahead and destroy the memory of Amalek, end quote. And not only that, there is a further mitzvah. There is a mitzvah to constantly be aware, to constantly remember the evil deed, ma'asav ha'ra'im, ve'evaso, and to hate him for varivaso. And his guerrilla tactics that he pulled on you. Kidei la'orer evoso, so that you can have a constant feeling of hate, which again is so atypical, to walk around hating. The Torah did 100 things to be able to release the valve of hate. Nonetheless, he writes what he writes. And we learn this all, Shenemar, as it said in the Torah, quote, Zachor es Hashem asalcha Amalek, end quote. That's Parsha Zachor, that's what we read. Remember what Amalek did to you. Says the Rambam, Mipi Yashimua, based on tradition from Sinai, Lamdu, we learned the following. When it said the word Zachor es Hashem asalcha Amalek, Zachor, you must remember. How do you remember? Ba'peh, by publicly declaring it, what he did to you, and therefore I hate Amalek. And then at the end of the pasuk it says, Lo tishkach, you shall not forget. That means what? Balev, you shall not ever forget and change your mind. In your heart, your emotions shall always hate for what was done to you. You can never forgive and you can never forget.
Does God hate?
Huh?
Does God hate?
No, so I ask you.
Amalek is a special case.
Amalek is a special case, and we have to exorcise, cut it out, and put it surgically in a separate case unto itself.
Did I detect in your voice that you are trying to put emphasis on that you should be carrying this hate in your heart and speaking out orally as opposed to doing it in a physical way? Or was this my...
No, Chas v'Shalom. Can't do that. No. Can't do that. You see, you're trying to say that I'm trying to belittle. No. Right now, what you have to say is, if there is Amalek, number one, you must kill. Number two, you must remember.
Give it after the killing.
That's it. It's a triple whammy. You must kill. That's maaseh. You must talk about it. Bapeh. That's dibur. And in your heart, you must hate. That is what? That's machshava. That's your internal. And you know the whole. There is nothing in the world that you do that isn't machshava, maaseh, or dibur. This is the triangle. Machshava, maaseh, or dibur. You do, you think, or feel, and you talk. That's your whole... Kizek kol ha'adam. There's nothing more that you do. Except occasionally have a schnapps, you know, or a beer. I mean, that's it. But that's it. Finished. So I'm telling you just the opposite. I am trying to remind you that not only do you have to go out and kill, and there were those who refused to kill fully, and they were punished for it ultimately, but it has to be bedibur bapeh with your mouth and balev your thoughts, your hearts, your feeling, your emotions. Total kind of hate. Now, the question is, Gevul Geshen, this is so atypical. So, Rabban over here tells us it is specifically a different kind of mitzvah that is almost, we'll call it sui generis. There's no other mitzvah that you can compare to it. It's one way. It's only one way, though.
Special case.
Okay, that's only one way.
But the deed also is not until Yom HaTashiach.
All right. Now, I want to complicate the situation a little further. Let's go to his next parak. Parak Shishi. Parak Shishi Halacha Aleph. And let's see if this is the true picture that the Rambam is painting. Says the Rambam. Don't you dare go to war with a single human being in this world unless ad shekor imlo shalom, unless you call first for peace, echad milchemes arshus, whether it is an optional war, ve'echad milchemes mitzvah, where it is one of the wars that is a mitzvah, shenema, because the pasuk itself said, quote, ki sikrav el ir, when you come near to a city, le'ilachem aleha, to go ahead and fight it, v'karasa eleha l'shalom, before you pick up a sword, before one arrow is shot, you have to call for peace. End quote. Well, looks like an open stira, an open contradiction. Let's see how to learn it. Im hishlimu, if any one of these people whom you called for peace decided to make peace, and by that we mean, says the Rambam, kiblu sheva mitzvos shenitztavu b'nei Noach aleihem. What does peace mean? What does peace mean in a milchemes mitzvah, let's say now? Right? Amalek is a milchemes mitzvah. The Shiva Amim of Canaan are a milchemes mitzvah. Okay, and anyone else who comes to destroy us. But let's take the Shiva Amim and Amalek. What are the terms of peace? Shekiblu aleihem sheva mitzvah shenitztavu b'nei Noach. They accepted upon themselves that henceforth they will live according to the seven mitzvahs that were commanded to every goy. Is ein hogin mehen neshama? You are not allowed to kill not one of them even. And as a result of this, vaharei hein lamas, they will come and not only accept the sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, but they will pay taxes to you, again based on a pasuk, sheneemar, quote, yihyu lechol lamas va'avaducha, end quote. They will be a source of revenue, of tax, and not only that, they have to va'avaducha, they have to serve you. So you have three things here in terms of peace. You call to peace and you tell them, listen, you are to accept sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Number two, you will not close your shops. You will be economically productive. You will not strike and not go into the shuk and open up because there is an occupying force. Don't smile. This is it. Pshuto kimashmo. Facts. Yeah, or whatever you call it. They call it an occupying force. Okay? And number three, you will work to clean your streets, to fix the sidewalks. If we have to build, you will give us builders. You are a workforce. There is going to be a normalization of society. That is calling for peace. Theoretically only. If Amalek decided to come, or if the Kenani, Amori, Hagirgoshi, Hayavusi, and called out to whomever, whether it was Yehoshua or David or Shaul, and say, peace, brother. In Perek Hay, what we learned already in the last parak, could we accept such a thing? No, we have to go and kill him. But in Perek Vov, theoretically, what are you supposed to do here? Huh? Do you see it the way I see it also? Ein hogimehem, the third line, the fourth line in the middle of the line, ein hogimehem neshama, not one goy is to lose his life. Yeah, that's so. We got to continue just a little more. All right. In the interest of time, let's look at Halacha Beis. Halacha Gimel. Ve'asur l'shaker b'vrasam. Once you decide to make a peace treaty, a bris, you are not allowed to deceive them or break it. Achar shehishlimu. Halacha Gimel. The last Halacha Gimel. Va'asur l'shaker b'vrisam. You are not allowed to deceive them. U'lechazev lahem, and lie. Achar shehishlimu. After they accepted the terms of peace. And again, what is the essence, the essential meaning of peace? Kiblu sheva mitzvos. He repeats it again. They accepted upon themselves the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. V'im lo hishlimu, if they didn't make peace. Or shehishlimu, or they wanted peace, but on their terms, meaning v'lo kiblu Sheva Mitzvahs, by not accepting the Sheva Mitzvahs. The halacha is, osim imahem milchama, you go to war with them, v'horgim kol ha-zacharim ha-gedolim, you kill all the males who are above bar mitzvah age, and you have little concern for any of their property and their children. You can take their children and arrest them and take them to slaves. But ein hargim isha, you don't kill women. Velo katan, you don't kill a child. Shenemar, because it's a pasuk in Chumash. Vahanashim, vahataf, women and children. All right, zetaf shel zecharim. Those are the children, males of males, that you don't go ahead and kill. Amed Devarim Amurim, but wait a minute, says the Rambam, when I tell you that if they only made peace halfway, so to speak, that you kill the men, that's only b'milchemes harishus, shehu im shar ha'umos. This limited war is only in an optional war. But aval shiva amim va'amalek shelo hishlimu, the shiva amim, the seven nations and Amalek who refused to accept, shelo hishlimu, who refused to accept the peace treaty, and again the peace treaty has three things in it, is ein manichim mehem neshama, you don't allow one of them to live, shenemar, quote, kein ta'aseh l'chol ha'goy, rak me'arei ha'amim, lo techayek kol neshama. You go ahead, the Rambam is giving you the pasuk in Chumash, and allow the men to be killed, not the women and children, except from arei ha'amim, the ones who are in Eretz Yisrael, the seven nations, lo techayek kol neshama, kill all of them. V'chein hu omer, and the same thing is said by Amalek. Timche ezecher Amalek, completely go ahead and destroy them because they are Amalek. But only under what circumstances? Im lo hishlimu. If they refuse to accept the terms of Shalom.
He left out one category. He said, well, one case was the case of Mechemet Rishut, and then he talked about the Shiva Amin and Amalek. So what about the third category? Mechemet Mitzvah? That comes under the
It goes without saying, but the third category of Milchemet Mitzvah is someone wants to kill you. They're coming to war against you. So what's the scenario? Syria is going to bomb the Galil. And we come to them and we say, Syria, we want you to be nice people. We want you to be Mekavel Sheva Mitzvahs V'nei Noach. You don't have to be Hasidim. Just be Mekavel Sheva Mitzvahs V'nei Noach. Syria, don't start up with us. We want you to pay taxes to us. And also Syria, you know, we want to have a road straight to Damascus that we should be able to come, especially after we finish skiing in the Hermon, we should be able to go. We want international relations. That's the way you talk to someone, Hatzorer Eschem, someone who is beating down your doors.
The offering seems like it's best to everyone. Okay. So the offering you don't make any. I'm saying the other. Look, you make the offering, you say to them, you know, you said, like, you know, they'd be better Israelis than Israelis if they pay taxes. You know what I mean? You know, pay taxes and. And go to work in a sort of.
Except he cannot say what you want him to say because the definition is that I'm being attacked. When I'm being attacked, I'm going to habala holgach ashkem v'holgach.
No, but so do you kill? So no, but I mean here, I'm missing. I mean, it's really a
habala holgach ashkem v'holgach. You go out and you kill
women and children.
Wipe them out if necessary. If necessary, you can wipe them out.
Because the children and women don't come to war.
Okay, but if necessary.
But the fruit trees.
If necessary. Well, what else? Sure, the fruit trees. You
don't go to war.
Okay.
Yeah, they make their weapons from the wood.
They don't go to war.
Not from fruit trees.
They get their energy, though,
okay. From
the war.
No, you're off base there. Now we come to the very famous machlokas between the Rambam and the Raiva. The implication of the Rambam is here that, I will read it again, it's where the star is, Aval Shiva Amim, the seven nations va'amolek shelo hishlimu. They refuse to make peace with you, is ein manichim mehem neshama. You go and kill them all out. What is the converse? What's the opposite? That if the Shiva Amim and Amalek wanted to make peace with you, what do you do?
You accept them.
You're a Nazi, and you're Amalek, personified. But now that I'm coming to get you, if you want to do tshuva, the implication seemingly is, I gotta take them. This is one of the most difficult Rambams in the world.
After you did your dirty work?
No. Well, after who did the dirty work?
The Nazi.
So leave that alone for a minute. You got it. Watch carefully. Amalek lived in the times of Yehoshua and Moshe Rabbeinu. Generations pass and they still exist. Okay? If Haman came to Mordechai, and he's Haman HaAgagi from Amalek, and he said, listen, Moti, I don't want to fight with you. Don't want to fight with you. How do I get out of it? And Mordechai says, listen to me, Haman, you'll come to the Beis Medrash and I'll teach you Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. We'll sit down, we'll learn Masechah Sanhedrin. You'll know exactly what Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach are. And finish. You ready to accept? And Haman says, yeah, you got a deal. Do I have to hang him up and his 10 sons? No. That is the implication of the Rambam here. Okay. And if 10 generations down the line, Amalek once again reappears, so the question is, how does he reappear? If he reappears as Amalek personified the way Amalek was, then you have Perakei, you know what you got to do, you kill him out, no questions asked. But if he comes, and this is the problem, if he comes to you and he says to you, I'm ready to be Makabal, the Shiva, the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Huh?
It must be a point that the Shuva that...
Well, let's see. We got to understand, let's see.
Then the defendant can say he did it, he's sorry, and that he wants Shuva.
Okay, yeah, except for one thing. Except for one thing. In Amalek, 10 generations after Amalek did what Amalek did, right? The original atrocity, 10 generations after, the mitzvah was to kill him out. Isn't it logical to say in the 10th generation, hey, what do you want from me? Your grandparents didn't make a mistake once upon a time. The whole world is going to hold it against you. I don't say it. It's 10 generations later. It's 250 years later. I want to sit down. I don't want to be Amalek. I'm ready to live side by side with you. Now, is the halacha that we always go back to the original root? What was done there that shall never be forgotten? Zachor, you remember? Lo tishkach, never to forget? Or can we accept? Now, the Raiva disagrees with the implications of the Rambam. The Raiva over here in this little small box, but I want to learn it elsewhere, says something. The language is very difficult. And I'll tell you what he says. He says the Rambam is wrong. Even if they'll decide and to come and do tshuva, you have to kill him out. But I want to learn the Raiva from the Perish of the Kesef Mishnah up on the left-hand corner. Over here. Up in the left-hand corner. It's on the fourth page. In the left-hand, I marked it off. It's circled. Aval the quote, Aval Shiva Amim Va'amolek. The seven nations of Amalek, if they didn't make peace, said the Rambam, you got to kill them out. Implying that if they want to make peace, you don't have to kill them out. Kosav Arayvat. Rav Avram ben David writes, Ze Shibush, this is a total mistake. Ela Sheyachol Lomar, Hishlimu Lekabel HaMitzvos Ad Kan Lishono. Now don't ask me to explain those words, because the Kesef Mishnah, who is the author of the Shulchan Aruch, writes in explanation. Ta'amol, the essence of what the Raivad is saying, Ta'amol Omar, is that Shiva Amim Va'amolek, according to the Raivad, Amolek and the seven nations, Afal Pi Shehishlimu, even though they've called for peace, V'ratzu Lekabel Aleihem Mas Ve'avdus, and they want to go ahead and pay taxes and be subservient to you. Hargimosam, you kill them out. Why? Because if you don't kill them out, you're not being Mekayim the mitzvah. And the mitzvah was, number one, you kill, number two, you talk about it, number three, you hate, and that's the way it is. Otherwise, we don't have Taryag mitzvahs. Okay? That's the Raiva. Ela, says Rav Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, Ela she'efshar lita'un ba'ad Rabbeinu. It is possible to understand the Rambam that he too is justified. Vilomar, by saying the following, she'bichlal hishlimu, Hu Kabbalah Sheva Mitzvos, that the whole essence of making peace is accepting the seven mitzvos. Now, She'im Kiblu Alehem Sheva Mitzvos, if Amalek accepted the Sheva Mitzvos upon themselves, Hare Yatzu Miklau, they went ahead and have completely eradicated themselves from this rule or this category of people called Shiva Amim. The seven nations, or Miklal Amalek. Can you imagine Haman sitting and learning Sanhedrin, and he's learning about the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach? Is that Haman Amaleki? Can you imagine Vaizosa and his nine brothers sitting over there, and they're learning Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos on Sanhedrin on what the halachas are about what the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach are.
Wait, so you're interpreting his lesson in a Tamir. You're saying if they did this, it couldn't be.
Once a Amaleki or a Sheva Mitzvah or Sheva Amin goes ahead and accepts the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, says Rabbi Yosef Karo that it seems that what the Rambam is saying, he loses his status of what? He completely loses his status of being Amalek. How do you lose that status? Either by getting killed, number one, or by accepting the terms of peace. You're no longer an Amaleki. And then finish off, V'harei, and under such circumstances, Hein Kivnei Noach HaKisherim. Then you take Amalek, you take Haman, who is ready to accept the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and he accepts it. You know what he is? He's like a goy who is kosher. Any goy, your next door neighbor. If you want to come and accept Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach and be a frum goy, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to say Shalom Aleichem to such a goy. So it seems as if, when you get down to the nitty gritty of it, there are two aspects to the mitzvah of destroying and decimating Amalek. The first aspect of Amalek is when Amalek remains Amalek, and that is in Perek Hay that we learned, you kill him no matter what, and you go ahead and you show the hate, because there's no other way to deal with it. But what if Amalek finally recognizes the superiority of Torah, and accepts, and how does he recognize the superiority of Torah? Accepts the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, accepts the Shem Hashem, as Malchus, as kingship, is no longer ready to fight? It seems from the Rambam, okay, the Raiva disagrees, but it seems from the Rambam that we are talking here about nothing else than accepting them because they are no longer Amalek. Or to say it differently, there are two ways to destroy Amalek. One is the way of Perakeh, of machshava, your thoughts and your maaseh, your deeds and your dibur, your talk, is eva, is hate, disgust, and sina. There is a second way. Get him to give up being an Amalek. Let him accept the Sheva Mitzvahs.
That's to say then that the Rambam is saying that Amalek is not necessarily a genetic concept, you know, they're not a nation, but that it's a philosophy. Anyone can turn out and become Amalek. And the Rambam is saying that they're a nation.
That is one way of being able to answer that other question that we had. If Kvar Ovad Zichrom, if we no longer know who the Shiva Amim are, and Amalek is, then we no longer have Tayag Mitzvos. We have less than Tayag Mitzvos. Now wait a minute. So what? This is a way that you can answer it. That anyone who imitates the Drochim of Amalek or the Shiva Amim already means that even though the original Shiva Amim aren't here, that they truly are again here. And I have proof for it. Okay?
You want to say?
Well, proof in the Rambam. Okay? But I'll give you that proof in a moment. But do you see clearly the original statement of Rav Kook reflecting nothing more than what the Rambam says? To come and to be mochek, to go ahead and to erase is what? Is kilkul. Is to destroy. No question about it. When it comes to Amalek, there is a mitzvah of destruction. Can't get away with it. It's the cancer of society. You've got to surgically take and get them down to the last minute cell. Otherwise, you're going to have tzaras. But is that the whole purpose of the surgery? Or is the other side of the coin, how incredible it would be if we could get Amalek to understand that the whole intent of Torah was Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Accept this world. This is Malchus Hashem. This is the bris. This is the covenant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not only with Jews, but has with all of humanity. All right, we have a covenant that has 613 covenants in it. You have 7, but it's the same bris. Go ahead and do it and finish. And you have effectively eradicated Amalek. How? Not by destruction, not by kilkul, mechika, erasing, but the gemar mitzvah, the real essence of the mitzvah, is to be able to eradicate Amalek by making sure that no one ascribes to that philosophy, that no one gives assent, that a whole world rejects what Amalek was and what it represented in its quintessential form, and no one goes ahead and follows what the Shiva Amim are. Now come here to the proof that I have from the Rambam. If you would turn back to page 2 of this, Rambam, on the right hand column, you see it says Mitzvah Kuf Pei Zayin. The Rambam writes, this is in his Sefer HaMitzvot, in his list of mitzvot. The Rambam writes as follows: Mitzvah Kuf Pei Zayin, Mitzvah 167, He Shet Sivonu Laharog Shiva Amim. The mitzvah is to kill Sheva Amim, seven nations. Sheyashvu Be'eretz Kenan, who inhabited Eretz Kenan, Ula Abedom, and to obliterate them. Sheheim, and here is the reason. Sheheim Shoresh Avodah Zara. They are the root cause for Avodah Zara in this world, via Sodom Harishon, and the first manifestation of Avodah Zara came from them. The Hu Amro Yisaleh, and this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said in his Torah, in this mitzvah, quote, Hachreim Tachrimeim, end quote. Surely you must destroy them. Surely you must get rid of them all.